So, Andy Beach, thank you for joining us today for our first episode of To Be Named podcast series. This podcast is focused on Scott's Edition, and so we're sitting here in Gather, Scott's Edition, which is a marvelous place. So, most of social media knows you from Urban Core, real estate development, and construction fame. We like to dig a little deeper today. So I'd love to hear, like, what got you into real estate, property management, development, construction?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here on this amazing podcast.
Thank you.
So I got into construction right after college. I started at Ryan Homes, was there for about 8 years, kind of worked through a management training program they had. And then also my business partner was there. So around 2010, he and I read a book called Real Estate Riches by Dolph DeRoos, and we're talking about it. And we thought that, you know, it was an opportune time as the market had really tanked for real estate.
What year was this?
2010.
Okay.
And so we felt like that was a great time to start buying property. Mm-hmm. So we bought a duplex up in Church Hill. That was kind of before Church Hill had turned into what it is now. And we renovated that, rented it out. It went so well that we kind of both jumped in, you know, feet first, and really started buying as much as we could in the Church Hill area. We kind of set into it to be developers. Mm-hmm. And then through that, we realized we, you know, from our construction background, we wanted the headache and the pain in the butt of managing a different contractor. We realized, like, we should just create our own construction company to do work for ourselves. And then as we've grown as developers, we've grown our construction company. And then now we have the construction company is a standalone business that does mm-hmm. third-party construction, a lot of different types of construction. And then we have our own development arm that we continue to try to find and buy real estate. And have done a lot of cool stuff in Scott's Edition as well.
Yeah. So what kind of projects have you done, and what kind of projects do you think you'll be doing moving forward on the development side?
So from a development standpoint, you know, what I would consider us is an opportunistic developer. So a lot of people tend to specialize in one thing or another. We want to stay geographically right now in Richmond. So to do that, we feel like we can't specialize in one thing. So we've done mixed use, we've done multifamily, and we've done office. We kind of look at each deal that comes our way and see, hey, from a bigger picture, what does this neighborhood, this area, what would be the best use of this space instead of being like, let's just do multifamily everywhere.
Sure.
And so we've done...
Do you want to call out anybody in particular that does do
and, just kidding. Dotson Development.
I wish we did a lot of multifamily. Cool. So what projects have you done in Scott's Edition?
So... the first project we did is Gather. So we did 2918, this building here, mm-hmm. as well as the adjacent Three Notch Brewery, all the retail spaces, the wine bar, and then the office along,
Altamont.
Yeah. And then, so as we had bought that, then we had the opportunity to buy Joy Garden and then the Bingo Building. So now we've put together this whole block of Scott's mm-hmm. Edition. So that was kind of our first step into it. And then, you know, with you as well, then we went to 1400 Boulevard and bought an old office building to turn that into retail on the first floor and apartments on the second floor. From there, then we went to 1400 Roseneath. We had an opportunity. We bought actually 7 buildings, mm-hmm. 5 on the 1400 block of Roseneath and then 2 on Belleville. At that time, we ended up selling the 2 pieces on Belleville and just lowering our basis in the whole block of 1400 Boulevard, and we decided to turn that all into office.
Mm-hmm. So and that one just finished up recently?
Yeah. So we cool. finished, of that, those 5 buildings, we finished the first 3, which is 30,000 square feet of office. Mm-hmm. Barbara Martin, RES, and Stephen Gould are in there. And then we have 2 buildings left that mm-hmm. the industrial tenants are just rolling out of their leases that we'll renovate. And we are currently marketing and trying to lease those as office as well.
Cool. So Scott's Edition is obviously on fire. Like, everybody in the world's talking about it when they come to visit Richmond. They hit all the breweries in Scott's Edition. Like, from your knowledge of Richmond, its history in the since you've lived here, and your knowledge of real estate construction and development, like, what do you attribute the success of Scott's Edition to?
Duke Dotson.
Good answer. Good answer.
I think everybody wants to go where Duke Dotson is going. So Duke Dotson's doing development, so then the market just follows.
Fair enough. Okay.
No, I think honestly what it is it's geographical location. I think when Scott's Edition first got started, people were doing apartments here, and it was like they were finally not – they were doing new apartments that were bigger, nicer, great amenities. And so what you had is all the people who typically would live in the fan, that's what your competition was. And now everybody's like, well, wait a second. You're basically same location. You know, you're centrally located in the city. You can get to the West End, South Side, downtown very easily. And apartments are basically the same price as the fan, except for the fan was renovated in the 80s. Now you get this state-of-the-art apartment and a loft. And so it was the apartments, I think, rented really well. And so you got the residential here, and then a brewery popped up. And that did really well, and then more breweries kind of popped up around it. And so I think it's the geographical location of Scott's Edition that has made it so successful. And then one other thing is you see, like, different from, like, a Manchester, which I like Manchester, but Manchester is mostly residential. And then the amenities to that neighborhood have seemed to lag behind the amount of residential there is. Scott's Edition kind of – there was a little bit of apartments, then there was breweries, then there was restaurants. And so, like – and then there was more apartments, and so they've kind of snowballed on top of each other.
Yeah. Do you see any challenges? You know, you hear mostly good things about Scott's Edition. If you hear anything about the Knox, it's the flow of traffic and lack of parking and infrastructure as far as, like, just the sidewalks, and it's just some parts of it aren't pretty.
Lack of green space.
Yeah. I mean, do you see that as being significant challenges for the neighborhood? And that rolls into the next question too. Is like, what do you think is next for Scott's Edition?
Yeah, I do think that there are some logistical challenges of the roads. And I think, you know, somebody smarter than me needs to figure out what's the best flow of traffic in and out of the neighborhood. Let's eliminate some of the one-way streets, make them two-way. And then, you know, I think from a development standpoint, you know, land is so expensive here. How do you then incorporate some green space into a development? You know, because I think, or, you know, can we... You know, one thing that I think if we could put our heads together and somehow work with the railroad is to beautify and make that area along the CSX railroad on the northernmost boundary of Scott's Edition, like some sort of, you know, walking trail, greenway that you can ride your bike on, that park.
Sure.
So I think the challenges are going to be, you know, pricing. Everything's really expensive because everybody likes Scott's Edition, and I think it's going to continue to get better. And I think what's next is you're going to see... Because the prices are so high, you're going to see more density, which I think it can handle. I mean, I think, you know, more and more people still want to live here. I think there's runway for apartments, and I think there's runway for, you know, more restaurants. Like, we're putting the Potbellies in our building that we did together, and I think that'll do really well. But I think that the neighborhood can support more fast casual type food and even some more, you know, big plate, small food type restaurants as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a developer yesterday saying that there's going to be, in the next 4 years, there's 1,500 units slated to be built in Scott's Edition. That's just what people, you know about now. And this developer wasn't phased. He felt that the neighborhood could absorb it pretty quickly. Do you agree with that? And second, he also attributed a lot of the recent success is the amount of office that's coming to the area is feeding the restaurants during the day, and the residents are feeding it at night, and it's become this kind of ecosystem, like, all to itself. And then what he mentioned being next was maybe some for sale, maybe that being condos or townhouses, some kind of people that wanted to buy and stay in the neighborhood. How do you feel about all of that? That's a lot of questions. I'm not sure that was a question.
So I think it can definitely absorb as many apartments as you'll put here. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, it's not founded in a market study, but I think you could do one that would say, yes, there is enough for 1,500. I mean, I think Manchester over the last 5 years is like over 3,000 units, and they've absorbed. And I think this is a better location, better amenities, you know, geographically better. So I think that would, I think we're fine there. That doesn't bother me. I think I would still do apartments if I had the opportunity for a development here.
And when you did your office development that just flew off the shelf, right?
Right. It's the highest rents in the metropolitan area. I mean, you're getting like Innsbrook type rents here. And people are kind of lining up for it. And, you know, I think that's also part of, right, like this it's cliche, live, work, play neighborhood. Well, Scott's Addition is absolutely that, and I think it's only going to get more of that. We really like the office aspect here. I think there's a couple projects coming online that I think are going to, you know, you're going to have even more office here. I think it's going to rent well. And so then you do really have people living here. They office here, and then they're spending their time. They're hanging out at the breweries, Taza kitchens, the lunch and suppers. And then, you know, I think that's only going to drive, you know, more momentum for those types of amenities and even make more people want to live here.
Sure. So in roughly a year from now, we'll have in Scott's Addition a shuffleboard club, a bowling alley, two barcades. You know, every brewery has all this experience. You can play Jenga and all that stuff. What's next in the experiential drinking front? Some people have suggested axe throwing. My brother-in-law wants to put in a high-end putt-putt course that sells booze, you know, craft beer, and high-end bar snacks. If we're up to you, what would be your next experiential drinking establishment?
I don't know. I really like all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I got really tired at the end of my going out career, which was a long time ago now.
Yeah, when did you hang it up?
When I retired from that game. I got tired of going to Starlight and standing in a really crowded bar and just drinking and doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for all that. I'm trying to think of what else. You know, I think what's big in some other places is duck pin bowling.
Yeah.
You know, and what I think Richmond will probably never do and Virginia probably would never do, but when you have all those things in this like small area, is like create an open container law.
Yeah.
You know, like Nashville has it in their district and you can, you know, they have the cycling brewery thing that you're sitting on it and you're drinking and you're going between breweries. And it's like, open that up, make it more fun. It's not going to cause a lot of more problems, but it's just going to make the experience even that much better.
Sure. Like in New Orleans, like a, it's a fun, it's definitely a different vibe when you can just walk freely from place to place. And I forgot to mention Topgolf too. Obviously Topgolf is is huge. So speaking of sports, let's go back to your high school basketball career. A lot of folks on the internet have a burning question, and it's how many times did you actually pass the ball in high school?
I always look to score first.
Score first, pass third. Yeah.
Shoot first, pass second. But I mean, I think really that was it. You know, the core of what I was trying to do is, you know, I wanted to bring the most value to the team that I could, and that was through
that was
scoring.
Fill it up, baby. Fill it up. So I'm trying to think what else I wanted to ask you. Did I miss anything on the whole Scott's Addition real estate construction development front? Anything else you want to share? Any questions you have?
No, I mean, we didn't touch on the BRT, which seems to be a hot topic now. I don't know what the effect that's going to be, you know, but I know the TOD zoning is going to be a benefit. The news, you know, Scott's Addition zoning specific, I think, is a good thing. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on the bus rapid transit and how it'll affect this area?
Yeah, I personally think I'm excited about it. I don't think it'll be a huge dramatic overnight shift, but I think it's a precursor to good things, precursor to a full-blown mass transit system at some point. But until then, I think it will attract density and retail around the transit stops. It's not going to happen overnight, but between the TOD zoning and the zoning you already have in place down in the heart of the city center, hashtag city center, I think you'll see more density flock to that. So where once a 1-3 story building stood, eventually they'll have a 7-12 story building. I think some of that's going to happen in Scott's Addition in the next couple of years and hopefully along Broad Street downtown. So we'll see. I'm excited. I think, you know, it only connects A to B now, but when they start going north-south and go out to Short Pump and other places, it'll allow people to get to work without driving a car, which makes everything easier from a construction and real estate development standpoint, because parking is always a problem. It's expensive to build, and you just run out of space. And you'd rather who wants to look at a parking garage when you could look at a retail establishment on the street? So
yeah, and I think the one thing I think about now is that, you know, as Scott's Addition is going to, you know, densify, right? And we're going to do these bigger, taller buildings, and we're going to integrate this two level of parking, maybe, you know, three levels of parking into it, because currently you need parking. I think that's going to dramatically change in 5 years, and it's like, how are you going to deal with that now? Looking forward 5 years.
You know? Because lenders want you to build the parking, but you're not going to want to have a bunch of parking 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So you're going to have really empty, expensive parking garages. Like, how do you repurpose those? It's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day. I don't think anybody knows that yet.
Yeah. It's things that, as we're developing Scott's Addition, that we got to be cognizant of. Yeah. You know, it's like, how do we reuse the parking in five, 10 years?
Sure. We should probably close with the story of when I almost threw a lockbox through your window. That's all. So viewers out there, so Andy Beach emailed me something mean, and I got so mad, I was determined. We're in the same building. I was going to run downstairs and throw a lockbox through his window because I thought that would solve the problem, and I didn't because he had a client in there, and that saved the day. And the next day, Andy said, oh, you were – because I had said something mean to him, and he thought I was joking, and so he was joking. And so he said, wait, so you really called me a redheaded MF? Like, yes, I did. So
that. Duke really meant that. Duke really meant the bad things that he said.
Well, you are redheaded. But I do love you. And I'm glad I didn't break your window, because I would have had to pay for it because it's in our building.
That's right. And I appreciate the healthy conflict. It might be a little unhealthy from Duke's standpoint, but, you know.
Andy once told me that he said, you just keep getting louder and louder until you get what you want. And I was like, man, that's some good critical feedback. And so I try not to do that anymore, so thank you. But no, thank you so much for being on our first podcast of this All Things Richmond kind of series we're going to do. This one, obviously, with a Scott's Addition focus. We'd love to have you back. Keep doing awesome things. I'm proud of you for being like a redneck from Salem. You've done really well.
That's right.
That's so, I'm proud of you. So keep up the good work.
I appreciate y'all having me. And I think you were smart to have me on first, because then it can only get better from here. So it'll only get better.
This
so
won't even be look, awesome.
Look forward to a lot of great practice, things. Yeah. A lot of great things to come from this podcast.
Cool. Well, cheers, man. Thank you.